الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا أوفوا بالعقود. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له، ولا دين لمن لا عهد له. وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, beloved brothers and elders, we had been discussing for the last few weeks business ethics of Islam and the exclusive characteristics and traits of a Muslim trader. Those things whereby we can distinguish that this is a Muslim person, those attributes, those qualities, those ways, those mannerisms by whereby he deals. We had been discussing that, and last week we had discussed fulfillment of a person's dues, whether it is owing to the merchants or whether it's owing his workers. We also mentioned abstention from taking oaths, false oaths, especially in the time in the course of business and trading. And we also mentioned that he is very considerate to his customers. If some of them for some reason wants to cancel the transaction, then he does it without any hesitation. As a point of correction, we had mentioned last week that that person, there are three persons for which we said Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will become an opponent on the day of judgment. And actually in reality, this is a hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I will be the opponent of three persons. And one person that is related to our topic was that person who takes the services of somebody and does not pay him. He employs somebody, takes his services and does not pay him. We had mentioned that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ana khasmahu." But this is a hadith of Qudsi. Allah Ta'ala says, "Ana khasmahu." I will be the opponent, Allah Ta'ala himself. So as a point of correction, wasn't Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but was Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who says that. It makes it even more serious. Person takes the work and labor of a person and thereafter he does not pay him. We also mentioned we ought to pay him promptly, and the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam were that "U'tu al-ajir ajrahu qabla yajiffa arquhu." Or kama qala an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before his perspiration even dries up, then pay him for his work. Before his perspiration even dries up, pay him for his work, to show that there should be no delay whatsoever. And as I mentioned to you, that this is not just words or just stories or fairy tales. Incidentally, last week somebody informed me there was one person in our congregation when he went out and said that Maulana is saying this, but so and so is making me cry for my money. So-and-so is making me cry for my money. So this has become something that we have become so indifferent towards, taking the services of somebody and not paying him. How unjust, how more unjust can a person be? That person needs the remuneration, needs to be paid, he needs that what he's working for, and he has no other way, he's a laborer, he's working. We take the services, but we do not pay him. Among the other attributes of a person, of a Muslim person or a Muslim trader, which is a hallmark, is there is no deception. There is no deception and cheating when it comes to his buying and selling. On one occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam went into the marketplace and he found a heap of some type of grains, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his Mubarak hands in those grains and he found that they were wet. They were wet and they were moist, and he asked this person that, "What is this? How come normally grains are sold when they are dry? How come these grains are wet?" The Sahabi radiallahu anhu told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it had rained last night and these grains became wet. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Worse to this effect, why did you not put this on top? Why did you not reveal it? Why did you put it inside? In other words, why did you conceal it?" Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ghashsha falaysa minna." Person that deceives people is not from us. It's not upon way of, not upon our way, upon the way of this ummah, person that deceives people. Similarly, we find deception is carried out in so many ways. One is to conceal the faults of an item, which has become so customary. Conceal the fault and sell it to the person. Thereafter, once you've got the money, then it's his baby, you're not concerned about what happens to him. Sometimes you deceive the person by telling him falsely that this is the item you're looking for. This is the item now. They no more make that item. So many ways, they no more make that item now. This is in place of that. This is a better item. And you begin to praise the item. Person becomes deceived, thinking he's buying the right thing. And when he goes back, what happens is the wrong thing. Sometimes it's the product, or it is the brand name. He's looking for a particular brand name because it has some speciality. You sell him some other brand name. Say, no, this is now a better brand. That is discontinued. He goes around the corner and finds that it's sold. So deception in all its forms, and especially together with deception to cheat the people. This has become now professional, a white-collar crime. That people cheat how? Sometimes they cheat on the till. They cheat on the till. You buy four items, they click in five items. Sometimes you buy four items that are cost a certain amount, and they click in the price is there much more than what you're supposed to. So this is another way, not deception, obviously, is cheating, even more worse. So we're not supposed to cheat the customer, nor are we supposed to deceive the customer. If there is some fault in something, we have something that's faulty, that has some something that is defective, the item, then we should point it out to the person. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, man ba'a bay'an lam yunabbih lam yazal fi maqtillah aw lam tazal al mala'ikatu tal'anuhu aw kama qala an-nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a serious warning. A person will sell something that's faulty, that's defective, something is wrong with it, but lam yunabbih, he does not inform the person that's buying that this is the fault with this item. It has this fault, it has this shortcoming, it has this defect, and I'm selling it to you in that, buy it as you want, buy it in that manner. No, you gain the impression there is nothing wrong with the item. That person buys the item, then what happens? You get away with the sale, but Allah and His Rasul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is fully aware of what is happening. He says, lam yazal fi maqtillah. That person will be continuously in the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He got the money, the item is gone, the money is in his till, and he feels happy, etc. But lam yazal fi maqtillah, he will be continuously in the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Aw lam tazil al malaikatu tal'anuhu, or continuously the malaika will be cursing this person. Continuously the malaika are cursing this person who deceived this man when he sold the item. One hadith, Rasulullah SAW tells us that the buyer, the purchaser and the seller are both, they both with the choice till they did not part. فَإِن صَدَقَ وَبَيِّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْهِمَا. If they are truthful and they express whatever the item is, if there's any fault in it, etc., they express, they are frank. They are truthful, they are frank, and they express بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْهِمَا. Then Allah Ta'ala puts barakat in their transaction. But وَإِن كَتَمَا وَكَزَبَا. If they conceal and they lie, this becomes so common, the person conceals the fault and he begins to lie, then muhiqat barakatu bayhima, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says there that the barakat of that transaction is gone. Why? Because both of them are either concealing or they are concealing and they are lying. They are concealing and they are lying. Sometimes the buyer is lying, sometimes the seller is also lying, etc. I can get this, the buyer sometimes says, I can get this for 10 rand around the corner, you selling for 50 rand. That's a lie. He knows he cannot get it for that price. Similarly, vice versa, that person says they sell for 20 rand, I'm selling to you for 10 rand. If they lie and they conceal, especially the faults, then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that there is no barakat in that sale. So we should check our transactions that they are free from deceiving deceptions, they are free from cheating people, they are free where we conceal things, and just to market the product, begin to tell a whole lot of lies and give the false impressions to people. فَلَيْسَ بِنَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. The one that deceives is not from us. What a serious warning in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So another attribute of a Muslim trader is this, that he does not deceive a person at any time. He's always frank in whatever he does in his business transaction, and he's open. There are faults in it, there are deficiencies, and he mentions that this, I'm selling this item, but this is the deficiency, this is the fault, or this is not found in this item. You expect it to be there, but it's not there. I'm selling it like that, and you buy it if you want to. Then there will be barakat in that. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when sadaqa wa bayyana, if they are truthful and they are frank and they express to each other the reality, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put barakat in their transactions. Barakat in the transaction, inshallah, whatever will come in thereafter, it will be used, it will be safeguarded, it will become a means of fulfilling our needs, etc. But when there is no barakat, then we see what we see. Millions of rands, thousands of rands, but it does not fulfill our needs. It's not a means of peace of mind. It's not a means where we can fulfill the needs of our wife, our children, etc. We are beset with problems, difficulties and hardships. Unseen hardships and difficulty comes. Why? There's no barakat there in that income that has come. Similarly, we find another attribute of a Muslim person is that he does not break his promises. When he makes promises, then there's no breach of promise. And this used to be the norm. It's about 20 years ago, this used to be the norm, that my word is my honor. There was nothing put down in writing also. Person should just say something, my word is my honor, and people used to take it, especially for a Muslim businessman. When he has said this, then that is his promise. He will not go against his promise. He will not betray and there will be no breach of promise. He won't breach and break his promise, and a person should not make false promises as well. Person should not make false promises. This is so serious when it comes to trustworthiness and promises. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "La imana liman la amanat ala." Person that has no trust and no trustworthiness, he has no iman. "Wala deen liman la ahdala." And that person who does not fulfill his promises, he has no deen and no religion. He has no deen and no religion who does not fulfill his promise. And so commonly we find that this is broken in the marketplace. So commonly, come tomorrow, I'll get it for you. Come certain day, I will pay you your money, etc. Yet those promises are not, the promises are false. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam should seek refuge from kufr, from sin, and from maghram, from deaths, etc., and from deen. Then it was told that you seek refuge from this, O Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was mentioned that when a person is indebted, when he has to pay debts, then he makes promises. And when he makes promises, then he breaches those promises, he breaks those promises, and he's false in those promises. So nice, so clear. And where would Rasulullah s.a.w. express this, which we witness every day. Comes to payment, we find there's breach of promise. Come certain day, I'll pay you Monday morning, I'll pay you next week. And the whole lot of excuses thereafter follow. A person lies upon lies. You can deceive the person before you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know of the seen and unseen. Alimul ghayb wa shahada is fully aware of your activities and my activities. So here we find breaking of promises also is not a characteristics, it's not a way, it's not a trait of a Muslim person. And al-kareemu idha wa'ada wafa, the person that is generous, a person that is generous is that person, or a person that is gracious is that person. When he makes a promise, he fulfills the promise. No matter what the promise is, he fulfills the promise. It's mentioned on one occasion, a person had made a promise to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a certain spot. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had waited for him for 3 days to fulfill this promise. And that person had only come thereafter. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone to great length to honor his promises. And this is a trait and characteristic of munafiqeen. Comes in a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are some signs of the munafiqeen and the hypocrites. One of them is, إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانَ. And when he is entrusted with something, then what we find, that he is, the person he breaks, that he does not fulfill that trust. He betrays that trust. And وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. And when he promises, then what he does, there's a breach of promise. He does not fulfill that promise. Here the commentators mentioned very beautifully, sometimes a person promises something, and he is very sincere at the time of promising to fulfill a certain action or fulfill a certain deed or commitment, but due to circumstances he cannot do it, then this will not be regarded as breach of promise. Breach of promise means that a person intends at that period, at that point in time, when he is making the promise, that I have no intention whatsoever to carry this out. I am not going to carry it out. In his heart, he conceives that I am not going to carry it out, but outwardly he makes a promise. That is breaching a promise. Not it becomes beyond his circumstances, no. With full intent and with full intention, he says he has this firm intention and conviction, I am not going to be fulfilling this, but he makes a promise outwardly. This is breach of promise. As I mentioned, this is a sign of the munafiqeen. And sign of the munafiqeen is that this person has a trait of nifaq in him, the person that makes a promise and breaks his promise. Here again, let there be some introspection and see how we conduct our business, how we make promises sometime to lure the person to come back. No, I'm getting this item certain day, come certain time. Oh no, this item is not delivered. I've ordered it, it's going to come. Anytime it's about to come. Oh, a lot of promises, come tomorrow morning, maybe here. Come next week, maybe here. And similarly, the other way around, when a person has to pay his debts, etc., then he makes promises. And وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفَ. Then he breaks his promises. So this is not becoming of a Muslim that he breaks his promise. As I mentioned, there was a period of time where my word is my honor. When the person says something, then without any writing, today after he's even deduced to writing, still we find this breach of the contract and his technicalities and loopholes, etc. And the man finally tells him, I'll see you in court and see what you can do, etc. Openly defying, forgetting that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness. Allah ta'ala was aware of what I told him, and Allah ta'ala knows of my promise, etc. He may not be able to prove it, but Allah ta'ala is fully aware of it. So here we find another characteristic of a Muslim trader is this, that when he makes promises, he does not go against his promises. He does not go against his promises. And thereafter we find another trait of a Muslim trader is this, that there is no monopoly. He does not hoard the items that are needed and in order so the prices can go up, and thereafter he sells it expensively. Similarly, he is not exorbitant when it comes to charging the profits. He is not exorbitant, but he lives and let live. He loves and he tries to make other people love as well. He makes a living and he's not exorbitant and overcharges the people, especially those people that are ignorant or especially those people that are desperate. This has become a trend. This has now become a trend that when the time of need comes, the prices have gone up. It has become a trend in the way of the kuffar, but it has become a trend in us also. Allah Ta'ala forgive us. When the time of Eid comes, animals are more expensive. Time of Hajj comes, tickets are more expensive. This is a time of need where there should make more riayat of the people here, and there should be more concessions of the people. This is a time to gain the reward. But everything is so commercialized that with the coming of those seasons where people are more needy, the prices go up. Similarly, monopoly, where you find people hoarding things that are of necessity. Things of necessity, people are hoarding them when it's not found in the market. Yes, when a product is found in the market, for some reason I have that product and I am keeping it, I'm withholding that product to sell it at a later stage is permissible. But especially when an item is not found in the marketplace, then I hoard that item in order for the prices to go up. Then here, Rasulullah has mentioned that person, Bais al-Abd al-Muhtakir, that person that hoards, is that person when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the prices cheaper, then he becomes sad and grieved. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the prices, then he becomes happy. He becomes happy. No, this should not be the characteristic of a Muslim. He should be there to serve the people around him. Yes, make a living. Nobody is saying you sell it at the cost. And like how people lie grossly and say, I'm selling it below cost, etc. There's no need for lying. Live and let live. Sell those items of the necessity to the people at the time of need. Don't hoard those items. Another characteristic of a Muslim is, across the board, he does not indulge in anything that is haram and prohibited in the Sharia. This is a general rule. Whether it is the items he is selling, whether it's the manner he's selling it, whether it's the way he's financing his business, anything that goes against the law of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, anything that is absolutely haram, he does not indulge. It does not involve himself in those things that are haram. Here, this is, we should take great note of this, because we live in an environment where halal and haram for the people around us is something. There's no distinction, no difference between the two. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that there will come a period upon people, يَأْتِيَ النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ لَا يُبَالِي الْمَرْءُ مَا أَخَذَ مِنْهُ أَمِنَ الْحَلَالِ أَمْ مِنَ الْحَرَامِ. There will come a time upon people when a man will not be concerned from where he gets his wealth. Is it from halal sources or from haram sources? And so commonly we find, everybody is doing it, so I am doing it. Everybody is doing it, so I am doing it. This does not make the items halal. We should be absolutely certain when it comes to halal. The items that we sell in our shops here, sometimes those items that we can't consume. We can't consume those items. We can't eat those items. People sell it and say, no, Mona, I'm not eating these items. I'm not eating the items. Sometimes they say, I'm not here. I heard sentences like that that amuses you also and it grieves you also. The Mona, the interest money that comes, I don't eat the interest. I use it for my garage. I use it for my pathway there. I use it for the fencing, etc. I'm not using it. This is the same sentence that Jews said. Rasulullah s.a.w. said, فَاتَرَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودِ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهُمُ الشُّحُومِ فَجَمَلُوهَا وَبَاعُوهَا. That may Allah's curse be upon the Jews. Allah Ta'ala had made fat, the fat of animals, haram upon them. What did they do? They melted the fat and then they sold the fat. And they said, we are not consuming the fat. We are not consuming the fat. They melted it and they sold it. And when the proceeds came, they used the proceeds. The same thing here. A person is indulging himself in interest, etc. Thereafter he says, when the interest comes, I don't use it for myself. I don't eat it. I don't consume it. But I use it for my tarmac, or I use it for my garage, or I use it for something else, or I use it for this purpose and that purpose. No. When something is not illegal and not permissible, especially things like interest, this needs a couple of weeks to elaborate. But we know it so well, so sometimes there's no need to speak about it. We know it so well. Allah Ta'ala give us the himmat and tawfiq and the courage to abstain from it. وَأَحَلَّ اللَّهُ الْبَيْعَ وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. So many other verses of the Holy Quran. This is the one that is most explicit. Allah Ta'ala has made trading, buying and selling permissible. وَحَرَّمَ الرِّبَى. And Allah Ta'ala has made usually completely haram. The words haram are meant here so that there can be no basis for any person to come out with any loopholes here. When this is not permissible, it's not permissible, it's not legalized. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys these things that are riba. It's from usury, Allah Ta'ala destroys usury. When another hadith is mentioned, وَإِنَّ الرِّبَى وَإِنْ كَثُرَ فَإِنَّ مَسِيرُهُ إِلَى الْقَلْبِ وَكَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Outwardly, it may increase and the amounts will be increasing, but ultimately that goes towards destruction and those to decrease and be destroyed. So riba and is something that is completely not permissible under any circumstances. And Allah Ta'ala tells us here also that وَذَرُوا مَا بَقِيَ مِنَ الْرِبَى, that leave out the remains of riba. فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Such a severe warning that has not come for anything else here in the Quran except for riba and taking interest that be prepared with the war with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We just ponder for a few moments, is there any person in this world, or is the entire world put together, can withstand a war against Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Never. Such a statement, such a profound statement, that any person who's got some sense and understanding will never indulge himself in riba. But because of our looseness and crafty attitude, we find it makes the order of the day, person is taking loans on riba, he's charging people interest, he's paying interest. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed the people. لَعَنَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ آكِلَ الرِّبَا وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَاهِدِهِ وَقَالَ كُلُّهُمْ هُمْ سَوَا وَهُمْ سَوَا أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. All those people that are related to this riba, whether they are taking interest, or whether they are giving interest, or whether they are the scribes of interest, or whether they are witnessing interest, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had cursed those people. Now what does the curse mean? Al-ib'adu min rahmatillah. You are distant from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the mercy of Allah ta'ala is distant away from me and you, with the words of rahmatul lil alameen, then how can we enjoy peace of mind? How can we enjoy contentment? How can we enjoy peace and tranquility when we are indulging in those things that bring upon us, in the words of rahmatul lil alameen, the one that was sent as a mercy towards the world, in his words, he is also asking for rahmat to be taken away from us and the curse of Allah to come towards us. So it's time that we open our eyes and stay away. And alhamdulillah, in this age and era, we find people in the CBD, endeavor in the CBD, that are trading and transacting without one cent of interest. Without one cent of interest, and why not? There's a system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has devised, and that's where the barakat will come when we see it. We should not succumb to the ways of the people around us, and any type of money that comes, we should take it, no. So anything that's not permissible, and we should admit that it is not permissible. Due to our weakness, if you are carrying it out, you should admit. Admission is a very great sifat here. We should not try and look for loopholes and try and legitimize and justify the actions that we are carrying out. Sometimes the items, oh Mullah, if we don't send this, especially in the overseas countries, the person is selling liquor. People are selling liquor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And when you talk to him, he says, no, if I don't sell liquor, the customers won't come here. If I don't sell liquor, the customers, other words, you are more concerned with haram and the outward glamour and glitter there. You're not concerned about the lanat from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the provider, not the people that come to your store. They are not the providers. So here when it comes to haram, we should first of all, Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq to abstain from all forms of haram. Whether it is interest, whether it is liquor, whether it is haram meat, whether it is those items that are the hallmark of other religion, etc. We should abstain from selling those items in our stores. And similarly, the ways that we transact. When the transaction is bare fasid, you can ask the details from the ulama. It does not constitute a proper Islamic contract, then you should not trade in that. Even if there's a loss of hundreds and thousands of land, today we become sympathizers because the iman is weak and we don't realize the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, the cell phone rings and there's a musical tone. You speak to the person, he says, Maulana, there's no other tone. Then why in the first instance would you buy such a phone? When it's not permissible, there's no other tone, why do you buy it and then show sympathy towards it? It means you yourself have put yourself in this problem. One, I can't do without interest. Why can't you do without interest? Why did you involve yourself in the first place in interest? Why did you keep those items in the shop that are completely impermissible? You are polluting and adulterating the income that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. And that comes with it. With it comes a host of problems that we cannot fathom, we cannot understand. So here the characteristic of a Muslim is this, that he is always conscious about halal and haram. Always conscious about halal and haram, and he steers himself far away from those areas that are haram in his business. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Should remember, we are undergoing a very serious crisis at all levels. We find in the dunya around us, in the world, no time to elaborate. You know, the difficulties and hardships of the Muslim ummah in places like Yemen, places like Palestine, places like many other countries in Pakistan where the earthquakes, etc. has come. So it's a time for us. And here also we find there's a water shortage and we find difficulties, we find racial issues lifting his head here. So we should not be just sitting complacent and feel that we are immune from all these actions, but we should take cognizance of the condition, the world condition of the Muslims, because the Muslims are like one body. And when there's pain and difficulty in one part of the body, we should ache also. So we should take cognizance of these conditions, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in tawbah and istighfar, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abstaining, as far as water is concerned, abstaining. There should be water conservation in every home. Each one of us should contribute towards the situation to alleviate the plight of those that do not have any water whatsoever. Imagine a day in our lives without water. So let us appreciate this ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do some water conservation. Many ways this can be done. And also together with that, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua for the entire ummah and for ourselves. And let us tread that path which will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and save ourselves from those actions and activities that draw the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give me and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.